Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43 in your Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. God's a big old fat liar. What a way. Oh! The way some Christians talk, that's what you think they believe. That he's some big old fat liar who's not going to keep his word. I knew that would shock you. Amen? What a way to start a sermon. God's a big old fat liar. The way some people talk, some Christian people I'm talking about, the way that they talk after they pray, you'd think God was a big old fat liar who doesn't keep his word. The Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. And he's not son of man that he should ever have to repent for anything he's written, said, or done, or otherwise. Amen? God is a faithful God. He's a good God. He's a God of mercy. He's not a God of wrath. And I'm coming out of the gate going after that wrath light tonight here on Cape Cod. I'm tired of it. Hallelujah. We attack it on TV, we attack it on the internet, and we're attacking it in person tonight. God is not a God of wrath. The Bible says, he who loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. He not only has love for you, but he is love. He is love. He is love. Yes, he's angry at the wicked every day. The Bible does indeed say that. But you can't build a doctrine on that one verse of Scripture. Jesus said, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Yes, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day, but only because they're rejecting his means of escape from a devil's hell by rejecting his form of deliverance, his means of deliverance through his son Jesus Christ. That's what makes him angry, is when people go to hell unnecessarily. God has never sent anybody to hell. Never has, never will. People send themselves by rejecting his means of escape. Hell wasn't designed for man to begin with. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said it was designed for the devil and his angels. But if you're going to reject Jesus, and you're going to reject the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, when you die, which you will, you have to go somewhere. You can't go to heaven, and you can't stay here. You've got to go somewhere. So you've got to go where your daddy's going. Satan, the father of lies. You've got to go where he goes. Some Christians, they live like Satan, still their stepdaddy. They believe him more than they believe God, than they believe God's word. God's not a liar. God is love. He's a good God. He's our Father. Amen? Do you believe that God will keep his word to you the way that he did to Moses? The way that he kept his word to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Daniel? Jeremiah? Isaiah? Zechariah? Obadiah? Habakkuk? Of course he will keep his word to you the way that he kept his word to those precious men of God and other precious women of God in the Old Testament. The Bible, he's a God of covenant. He covenanted with all those men and women to answer their prayers. If they'd live a life of obedience, he said, I'll take care of your needs. I'll answer all your prayers. You run with me, I'll run with you. Amen. And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil, because I'm the biggest thing in the valley. That's what God promised them. He covenanted with them. He's a God of covenant. He's covenanted with you if you're born again tonight. And you have a better covenant with God than Moses had, than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had, than any of the other prophets had, any of the people of the Old Testament. You have a better covenant established and better promises. Hebrews 8:6 says that Jesus Christ came as the mediator of a better covenant. I'm going like a machine gun already, aren't I? He came as the mediator of a better covenant established on far more excellent and superior promises. If he answered their prayers, he's going to answer your prayers. Amen. Do you believe that? You believe God hears you when you pray? Sure, when you pray according to his word, he hears you. Amen. We can be more powerful in prayer than any Old Testament saint because we have a better covenant. And I'm here tonight with a challenge from God. God is challenging you tonight. You'll see how as we go. You there in Isaiah chapter 43? Look what the Lord said about himself to Israel. And what God says to Israel, he says to us. Because if we are Christ, we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise, Galatians 3:13, 14, and 29. We don't have time to read it. But you get time to write it. You can look it up later. If ye be Christ, ye be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise God made with Israel through Abraham. Amen? So you keep that in mind as we read this in Isaiah 43. Are you there? Some of you have already read the first 8 verses. Go down to verse 25. I, this is God speaking of Himself. I, even I, am He. You don't want to miss this. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Doesn't sound like a God of wrath to me. Amen. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Woo! Here's a challenge from the God who keeps covenant. If God challenged Israel right here in Isaiah 43, under the old covenant, to plead their case before Him concerning whatever it was they needed or needed to be rid of, how much more does He challenge you tonight as a New Testament child of God to believe Him concerning whatever it is you need or whatever it is you need to be rid of? It's a challenge from God. He said, come, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What do you need from God? That's what He's saying here to Israel. And because He's saying it to Israel, He's saying it to you. Let's look first at verse 25. I'm going to read it again. Amen? And you're going to stay awake and listen to this tonight. Amen? You don't want to fall asleep and miss this. God's trying to get something to you. Amen? He wants to bless you. Verse 25, He said, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Look at this. For my own sake, not for your sake, for my sake, God said, I'll blot out your transgressions, and I will not remember your sins. This has to be one of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture. Amen? One of the most amazing verses in all of Scripture. God blots out our sins for His sake. He said, I'll blot out your sins for my sake. Did you get that? He blots out sin and transgression from our life because He loves us. He's our Father. And He is love. He blots out every obstacle between us and Him for His sake. Just because He wants to be a blessing to His family. That's God. And He's saying to you tonight, I'm God. And I can do this just because I'm God. I can blot out your sins and your transgressions, and I do blot them out just because I'm God. Everybody listen up, I'm God. And I'm blotting out your sins and your transgressions for my sake, because I want to be a blessing to you. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. That's an amazing revelation. He doesn't need any other reason. He's God. He loves you. He wants to bless you. So He put your sins and your iniquities and your transgressions on His Son's back so that He could bless you and not have to punish you. When I say you, I mean me. Amen? Hallelujah. Whoo! If I want to blot out your sins for my own sake, God says I can. I'm God. Amen? I'm going to forgive the sins of anybody who accepts my Son Jesus as Savior. Got it! That's what God says. Amen? Go over there, Ezekiel. I'm sorry, go over to Exodus chapter 33. Oh, I'm blowing and going already. Shouting and spouting about the goodness of God. God takes a bum rap for all evil that goes on in the world, and He's not responsible for it. Amen? God's not out there punishing people. God's out there trying to bless people according to His covenant with Abraham. Amen? If ye be Christ, you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the same promise. Listen, God told Abraham, I'll bless you, not I'll punish you. Amen? He's not a punitive God. He's a God of love. I recently heard a pastor right here on Cape Cod say, God gave a woman in my congregation cancer because of my sins. That's what the pastor said. God smote a woman in my congregation, this pastor said, because of my, the pastor's, sins. Brother, get a revelation. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Being put to death in the flesh, he was quickened in the spirit to bring us back to God. God put cancer on Jesus. Jesus became a sickness offering for us so that we didn't have to bear the penalty for sin, which is sickness, which is cancer. God smiting a pastor for the sins of the people? If that were true, did I say it backwards? Smiting the people for the sins of the pastor? Glory to God, that's a mess. Not glory to God, but glory to God. That is stinking thinking. That is religious, traditional thinking that can't be supported from the Word of God. God is the God of mercy. He put all that stinking mess, the penalty for sin, on Jesus. No one has to bear it again. If God was doing that, he's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. Re-punishing. Even civil law doesn't do that. You can't be tried for the same crime twice. God's smarter than that. Civil law came from the mind of Jesus. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 8. You can read that in your Bible. Amen? God didn't punish Jesus for our sins and turns around and punishes a woman for a pastor's sins. That's the flakiest thing I've heard in 2 weeks. Amen. A pastor teaching people that. I'm not putting any pastor down. I'm just trying to bring everybody up to the level where they need to be in Christ. Amen. God is the God of mercy. He's the God of blessing. What he put on Jesus, he doesn't want us to bear. Now, we might open the door for it. That woman in that man's congregation may have opened the door for that in her life. But the pastor didn't. Well, maybe the pastor taught her incorrectly and she believed him and she opened the door that way. Amen? Exodus 33, if you would. Hallelujah. Here's Moses having a visitation of God. Look, and God said, Moses asked God if he could see his glory. And look what God said in verse 17. The Lord said unto Moses, I'll do this thing also that thou hast spoken, because you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And God knows you by name tonight. Amen. Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And look what God said when Moses said, show me your glory. God said to Moses, I'll make all my goodness. See, God's glory is his goodness. He's a good God. Amen. He's a good God. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee, and I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He's a good God. He's a God of grace, and he's a God of mercy, and his mercy is on you right now. It's time to dump that religious stinking thinking that says that you're the one God probably won't show mercy to, Helen. Amen? Now, Helen never said that. I just picked her out because I know she can't beat me up. You're not the one. The devil tells everyone that lie. You'll be just the one God won't show mercy to. God's no respecter of persons. Peter said in Acts 10:34, he said, I perceive of a truth. God is no respecter of persons. Paul said in Romans 2:11, God is no respecter of persons. When God said, I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy, he meant I'll show mercy on all of you. For God so loved the world. You live in the world, then you qualify for mercy. That's the only qualification for God's mercy to be upon your life, is that you live in the world. You live in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believeth on him might not perish, but might have the stuffing kicked out of him with cancer. No, that he might have eternal life. Might not perish, but that he might have eternal life. Listen, eternal life begins in the sweet now and now, not in heaven. Not in the sweet by and by. Amen? That's what Paul taught young Pastor Timothy. For God, John 3:17, the next verse says, for God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be delivered through him. This is the God of goodness. This is the God of grace and the God of mercy. Amen? You're over there in Exodus chapter 33, where we just saw God refer to his glory as his goodness, and he said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show my mercy to whom I'll show mercy, and I'm just trying to get it across to you. God shows mercy to us all. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. These scriptures have been lifted out of context by some supposed preachers to show that God only shows mercy to Moses and a few other individuals. That's not what the Bible teaches. Psalm 145 says His mercies are over all of His works. You're right there in Exodus 34. You don't want to go to Psalm 145 just yet. I'm just going to quote it for you. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, His mercies are over all of His works. In Ephesians 2:10 says that you are His workmanship. His mercies over all of His works. In Ephesians 2:10 says you are His workmanship. That means that His mercy is hovering over you right now. It's on you now. Psalm 145:9 says that His mercies are over all of His works. Ephesians 2:10 says you are His workmanship. That means His mercy is on you now. Right now. You don't have to beg and squall and whine and complain and bawl and kick and scream. You just have to thank Him that it's on you now. His grace and His goodness and His mercy is on you now. Let's look at something else God said about Himself over here. Woo! In Exodus chapter 34. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you there in Exodus chapter 34? Let's pick it up in verse 5. Look at what the Lord said. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Sound like wrath to you? Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression for sin. And you don't need to go any further because He goes on and talks about a curse that's upon people for disobeying Him. Ezekiel said there's a day coming when Jesus would break the curse of disobedience, and He's already done it. All we're looking at right here tonight is the Lord called Himself the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, who keeps mercy for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. You believe that? Does that sound like a God of wrath to you? Go over to Micah chapter 7. Amen. You've had 45 minutes to get there by now. If you haven't found Micah by now, you're never going to find it. Hallelujah. You found it. You know where it is. Amen. What are we talking tonight? God's challenging you to believe Him. God's challenging you tonight through this servant of God to believe in His goodness and to plead your case before Him. Let Him know what it is you need. He wants to help you. Isaiah 45:11 says, concerning the work of my hand, or the power of my hand, the Father says, command ye me. Tell me where you want me to focus my power like a laser, and I'll do it for you, if only you'll believe. Amen? Oh, I hope so. Well, it won't work for you if you hope. You've got to believe. Amen? Romans 1:16, you're over there in Micah chapter 7. I'm just telling you scriptures as they come up in my spirit. Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to those who believe, not to those who hope. I hope so. You sound like, what's his name in the cartoon there? Lippy the Lion and Hadi Ha Ha, I hope so. The power of God is not available to those who hope. It's available to those who believe, and believe is an action verb. Talk like you believe, act like you believe, and God will pour that mercy upon your life, and things will stop happening to you and start happening for you. Now, won't that be nice for a change? Don't let your father take the bum rap anymore for what the devil's doing in the earth. I know you're there at Micah chapter 7. I'll prophesy it one more time and it will come to pass. Amen. Jesus said you've got to do three times more saying than believing. I usually get to a scripture after I've said, go there three times. Amen. Jesus said, He said the thief came to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's to the devil. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. Anything that's killing, stealing, and destroying your family, your finances, your body, your ministry, your job, your relationships is the devil, not God. Amen. God is the blesser. Satan is the dammer. God is not the dammer. Micah chapter 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't blame people for not going to church when preachers preach the wrath of God. Stay home and watch John Wayne. You'll have a more effective prayer life than sitting under preachers who preach the wrath of God. God doesn't anoint that kind of preaching, telling lies about Him. When preachers are holding services, preaching on the wrath of God, God's not in those services. He's watching John Wayne. He's got his feet up on his footstool, Satan, with the TV on. At least John knows how to win. At least he knows how to discern right from wrong, good from bad, black from white. Amen? I say stay home if you've been listening to preachers preach the wrath of God and watch John Wayne. You'll have a more effective prayer life. Thank you, Maurice. Thank you. Thank you, Maurice. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Where are we? Oh, it's time to read it. It's third time. Micah chapter 7. Look at verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He's talking Israel there, but he's talking to you too, because if you're Christ's, you're Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the same promise. Amen. He retaineth not his anger forever, but he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon you. He'll subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Well, hallelujah. Amen. If God throws your sins into the depths of the sea, leave them there. Leave them there. Put up a sign, I told you before, for the devil that says, no fishing in the blood. No fishing. If he's put them in the sea, one translation calls the sea the sea of forgetfulness. Amen? Another translation of the Bible says he puts them behind his back. Why does he put them behind his back? I've used this illustration before, I'll use it again. If you put a tennis ball between your shoulder blades and hold it there, if you turn around and try to see it, you can't see it. God puts your sins where he can't see them. It's rude to keep telling God where they are. Look at him, God. Look how nasty and big. Woo! Look at that bad boy. That's a whopper, God. Look at that. God doesn't want to look at that. He chooses to not look at your sins. It's rude to remind God of something he chooses to forget. Behave, children of God. Amen? Now, I know nobody in this room does it, but, you know, we're talking to rude people worldwide by internet. Right? Amen? Right here by a little digital recorder right in my pocket, we're reaching the world. Amen? If you didn't know it's in there, look at that right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed on him through pocket preaching. Amen? Let me put that right back in my pocket. If you're listening to us by internet or radio, I got a little digital voice recorder in my pocket so that we can include you wherever you are in the world today or tonight. Amen? You need to understand the Bible says that God's mercies are over all of his works in Psalm 145:9 and Ephesians 2:10. Get a revelation. You are his workmanship. His mercy's on you now. Now! You ain't waiting for it to show. It's on you now. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody said, yeah, but I sinned real bad since I was born again. You don't know what I did, Pastor. I say, you don't know what I did, and I'm the pastor. We've all sinned since we've been saved. Amen? Go to 1 John chapter 1 real quick, if you would. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the goodness of God, and God is challenging you to trust in His goodness, to trust in the love. Trust in the love. Trust in the love. Trust in the love. I love this kind of preaching. You love this kind of preaching? Woo! Trust the love. Trust the love and give fear the shove. The devil's a liar. God's not mad at you. Amen? The Bible says right here in 1 John 1, you say amen if you're there. If we confess our sins in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Woo, I'm demonstrative tonight, aren't I? It's just part of my mystique. Hallelujah. If we say we haven't sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children. Who? My little children. John is writing to God's children. God doesn't call sinners my little children. He doesn't call the devil's children my little children. He's talking to the body. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you may not sin. But if any man does sin, we have an advocate or an attorney, representation before the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When we sin and we ask for forgiveness, Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf and He says, Your Honor, my Father, Jesus is in with the judge. Your Honor, my Father, I'm here tonight on behalf of your daughter, my sister. We got it in with the judge too. Amen? And I'm asking you to forgive her. Forgive him. They've confessed. And the Father says, case closed. Slams his gavel. Next case. Amen? He's faithful and just. We have an advocate, an attorney with the Father who represents us every time we fall and asks for forgiveness. He asks, goes to the Father on our behalf. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 7:24 that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for you, so that when you fall, you'll get back up again. God's not concerned with how many times we fall. He's concerned with how many times we get up. If we'll get up one more time than we fall, we'll always be a success in Him. Are you getting anything out of this tonight, Helen? Hallelujah. I know you are. I can tell when people are pulling on me. Amen? So if it's a bit much tonight, talk to Helen after the service. Amen? Quit reminding God of things He's already forgiven. It's rude. It's just flat rude. Amen? Hebrews 4:16 says, we can come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation who never existed before. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new and all things are of God. Doesn't sound like wrath to me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God. We have the same standing with God as the Lord Jesus Christ. We have equity, innocence, and holiness before God because of Jesus. Does that sound like wrath to you? When you hear a preacher preaching the wrath of God, they ever give you this kind of scripture reference? They never do. They don't have it. They take stuff out of context, lifts random verses of Scripture out of context. Amen. God's good. His mercy's on you tonight, and He's challenging you to trust in His love. Psalm 32, you just write this down, 1 and 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. See, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Spirit imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Jesus, if you're born again, you're born again in your spirit, man. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in the body. The new birth occurred in your spirit. There's no more guile in your spirit. And David said in Psalm 32, blesses the man or the woman with whom there is no guile in their spirit. You're as right with God as you're ever going to be. You could die and go to heaven right now, and you find out you're no more right in heaven than you were when you were on earth. Righteousness can't be improved upon. You are the righteousness of God's challenging you tonight to trust in His love. To trust in your right standing because of Jesus. Amen? You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't grow in righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God is perfect, therefore His righteousness is perfect. Therefore your righteousness is perfect. You can grow in love, and you better. We better. You can grow in faith, and we better. But we can't grow in righteousness. Our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees because it's the righteousness of God. You couldn't have better standing with God if you died and went to heaven right now. And I always say I'm not encouraging that. Hold tight, stay here. God's not through with you. Amen? He's about to bless you. He's about to bless you. The more revelation we get of His mercy, the more we see the blessings in our lives. Amen? Amen? Ignorance of His mercy blocks the spot where the blessings come out. So we're attacking that wrath of God lie. Amen. Hallelujah. Sin is wrong, but repentance is always right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is He so good? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Amen. Don't analyze it. Utilize it. Don't pick it apart. Get it together. And just receive it. Amen. I'm talking to you, Barbara. Hallelujah. 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 I preach like this at home there sometimes. Amen. Hallelujah. She's blessed. Hallelujah. Can you imagine me jumping on your bed in the middle of the night? Wow! I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You'd love it and you know it. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26 again. We've preached on verse 25. Let's talk about verse 26. Isaiah 43. I'm sorry. We've preached on verse 25 from Isaiah 43. I want to just look at verse 26 again. Say a word about it. And then I'm going to challenge you to believe God tonight. Amen. Some people give God such a bum rap. Amen. Are you back there? Hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. Say, the God of truth. And the God of fidelity. And the God of mercy. Is blessing me now. I'm blessed, 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 blessed. Can you do that? I am blessed, 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 blessed. Amen. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What in the world does it mean to put God in remembrance? It means because you're forgiven, you can remind him of what he's promised to do for you in the Bible. Somebody said, that's rude, Pastor Hamill. Somebody said that to me. You shouldn't remind God of what he promised in the Bible. Well, you should if he told you to. Anything less is disobedience. Amen? I know to some folks, you know, to the carnal mind, the natural mind, it seems too good to be true. He said, come put me in remembrance. There's only one thing you can remind him of is his word. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. What do you need? Show me where I promised you something in the Bible. Bring it to me. Ask me for it. Believe me for it. And I'll see to it that you get it. I'll see to it it arrives on your doorstep. Hallelujah. Can you hear me in the back? Hallelujah. It's not wrong when God's invited us to do it. Amen. God said, lay your case before me. Amen. That's all he listens to is his word. He doesn't listen to traditional thinking. Traditional religious stinking thinking. Amen. Why should you listen to it? When you can go to God according to his word. Listen, God knows what he's doing. He's a smart God. This was his idea. He's not an ogre. He doesn't live under a bridge and come out at dark and bite people on the neck. He's not a moody, puritanical, white-robed monster hanging over the balcony of heaven waiting for you to blow it so he can get you. If he was going to get us, he'd have gotten us all by now. We're not that smart. He's not that dumb. He's looking to bless you. Do you believe that? He said, come, plead your case. Psalm 145, I'll read it to you again. It says, the Lord is good to all. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all of his works. If you need healing for your body, God wants to heal you. It is always God's will to heal. People don't always get healed because they don't always meet the conditions. If you need someone in your family to be saved, it is God's will for them to be saved. Don't let the devil speak to you crosswise or contrary to the written word of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not willing that your physical and material and financial needs not be met. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God shall meet all your need according to his riches and glory supernaturally. In Christ Jesus, not according to your job or your circumstances. Amen? Amen? Your job is not your source. God is your source. Your job is your seed. I said your job is not your source. God is your source. Your job is your seed. God wants to bless you financially if you believe him. And I'm not talking sweat equity. I'm talking supernatural. Supernatural. Do you believe? Hallelujah. I'm just trying to get over to you the goodness of God tonight. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. And if you're wondering if he's wrath, if you're wondering if he's really love, if you're not established in the fact that he's a merciful God, a God of goodness, a God of long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control, you're never going to know what to expect from Him. But if you're established in love, if you're established in mercy, you always know what to expect from love. Amen? You always know what to expect from mercy, don't you? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I'm going to read it to you. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Sound like wrath to you? He gave us His Son. He didn't spare His own Son. Why would He not also give us freely, Paul said, all other things? The lesser is contained in the greater. It's true in science. It's true in mathematics. It's true in engineering. The lesser is always contained in the greater. Jesus is God's greatest blessing. All other lesser blessings are contained in salvation, are contained in Him. Paul said He gave you His boy. Why wouldn't He give you a bunch of stuff? A nice house. A decent car. Your bills paid. Your body healed. He gave you His best, His absolute greatest. Why wouldn't He give you all these lesser things? He's love. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this tonight? He's not going to just forgive us and leave us hanging. Amen? Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you a story as you're standing. I don't know what you have need of tonight, but I'm going to ask you in a moment to come on up here, and I'm going to give you a verse of Scripture for you to stand on, whatever your need is, whatever your need might be. I one time read an article about a ballroom owner set up next door to a church. He moved into a building next door to the church. And the people in the church began to pray to get that guy out of there. People parking in the church parking lot and going in and boozing, coming out after the partying in the bar room and putting cigarette butts and beer cans on the Lord's property. That's not right. Amen. So the people in the church began to pray that the Lord would get that guy out of there. Well, lo and behold, this is a true story. Lo and behold, the building was hit by lightning, the bar room, and it burned to the ground. And the bar room owner knew that the people were in there praying against him. He took him to court. Took him to court. And they stood before the judge, and the bar room owner and the church people began to argue right in front of the judge. The bar room owner started saying, "These people prayed, and God struck my building with lightning and burned it to the ground." And the Christian said, "It's not our fault. It's not our fault." And the barroom tender says, "It is. You were praying for that. You were praying for that." And the Christian says, "It's not our fault. It's not our fault." And the judge said, "Quiet! Everybody quiet. I don't know how this trial is going to go, but I know one thing. The barroom owner believes in prayer more than the Christians." We believe in prayer. Don't we? Hallelujah. We have as much sense as an old bartender. We believe God, don't we? Well, hallelujah. What is your greatest need tonight? God's challenging you tonight to allow Him to meet that need. But you're going to have to do it based on Scripture. Jesus said, "If you abide in Me and My Word abides in you, then you can ask whatever you will." If you know what the Word says about your situation, you can come. Put Me in remembrance of that verse of Scripture. You can plead your case. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. I will see to it that that verse of Scripture comes to pass concerning your need if you refuse to withdraw your faith. If you believe that He is a God of mercy, He wants to meet your need, He will bless you. If you'll go out of here believing and not hoping, you will encounter the supernatural. What is your need? What is your need tonight? Anybody who has a need, and you want a verse of Scripture where God's promised to meet that need, you come up here now. I'll share a verse of Scripture with you. I'll pray the prayer of agreement over you, with you concerning it. And you go out of here tonight believing.